But we'll touch onto this as best we can. How many of you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the division of the Psalm 77. Psalm 77, and we're going to share some things tonight that I believe will be of help to us. That's been my prayer since your pastor called and asked me to share in the service tonight. It was just simply, Lord, what can I say that will be a blessing to the people? And I understand Wednesday nights are special nights when you have to put forth a great deal of effort to get here, and we certainly respect that and admire you for your faithfulness to come to the house of the Lord. I'm glad my wife is here. And again, Pastor Dwayne Broussard, dear friend, pastors, Mystery of God Fellowship Church here in Houston, and just a sweet brother in the Lord, and Benjamin, the sons here, his wife. We're just delighted for you that are here tonight. And I was going to ask Sister at the close, can you maybe just plan to play something while we have prayer at the close? Would that be okay? Ma'am? Okay. Yes, you are. But that's okay. I love you just as much as I ever have. Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Tonight I want to speak to you on this subject. We're going to teach for a little bit, called the power of song. I wonder tonight if I were to ask you, most of us could probably relate to the fact that we're not enjoying perfect circumstances in our life. Nobody's circumstance is entirely perfect, whether it's physical, financial, emotional, domestic, whatever it may be. Most of us, if we were to have you to raise your hand, is there a problem in your life? Most of us would certainly be able to say, yes, I'm dealing with something. And that's what makes the Bible so important, because we read about people that dealt with things. But I'm thankful that God gave us instruction about how they dealt with things and how they overcame things, because that for us becomes important. Now, when you and I go through things, we try everything that we can think of. We ask God to do it for us. You know, God, why am I going through this? We try fasting, we pray, we bind, we loose. We call the elders, we do penance, we do everything we know to do, and sometimes the problem just is persistent and won't leave. And to that point, there is something that I discovered a number of years ago as the Lord began to speak with me about this subject. I'd never taught on it before, but the Lord began to deal with me on the subject, the power of song. And so tonight I want to tell you that in our great arsenal as Christians, there is something that many of us have not quite understood the value of what God gave us, and that is the power of song. Now, we come and we sing, and we enjoy the music, and we sing the songs. Some don't sing. They just stand and stare. But I guess that's your prerogative until you learn better. Having been a worship leader, I could always pick the ones that were standing and staring, as opposed to those that were singing and worshiping. And quite honestly, I just liked the ones that would sing and worship. It just made my job so much easier. And I'm sure Rebecca and Greg can agree with that. But I want to talk to you tonight about the power of song, because as you begin to study this subject, and again, I gave him the notes that if you want them, it's the outline with the subject, the particular subject, and the verse of Scripture that confirms it. And you'll be able to take it home and study it and apply it to your life. A number of years ago, I was going through a great, great problem. And I remembered a friend of mine. And in fact, I confirmed with his wife today this miracle that took place. It's a gentleman. Well, how many of you know Dan Betzer? Anybody here been around the AG long enough to know who Dan Betzer is? Okay. For a number of years, I think he followed C.M. Ward as our Revival Time speaker. And Brother Betzer pastors in Florida. Now he's one of the executive presbyters and a precious man, great singer, great minister. And I remember him telling the story of when he was pioneering a church. He and his wife, Darlene, were pioneering a church in Dayton, Ohio. And they were in a temporary facility, and they really needed God to help them. The church was beginning to grow and get solvent and get stabilized, and they needed a facility. And they were like a lot of young churches. They just didn't have the money. They had the need, but they didn't have the money. And so he was a very outgoing man, had been in radio and public relations before going into the ministry. And in this particular city, he was good friends with the banker. And he would go in, and when they would make the deposits on Monday, he would chat with the bank manager, and they were just good friends. And one day, quite surprisingly, the bank manager said to Brother Betzer, "I need to talk with you." He said, "I've got something I want to share with you and see what you think about it." And so he told Brother Betzer, he said, "Listen, we've put this bank up for sale. In fact, what we're doing is we're auctioning it. And I just really think that you and your church ought to see if you can't get this bank. This building is right in the heart of downtown. It's a multi-storied building. So you've got all kinds of space, all kinds of facilities to have a great, great church. And on Sunday, you can park anywhere you want to because the stores at that time were closed in downtown Dayton." So he said, "Why don't you all consider it?" And of course, Dan Betzer's first and initial response was, "You've got to be kidding. You've got this bank building in downtown." And so he asked the gentleman, he said, "Well, what's the procedure?" And the gentleman said, "Well, you just submit a bid. And the board of directors will go through the bids and they will make their decision." So Dan said, "Well, all right, we'll pray about that." Well, he prayed kind of, but it didn't get too far in his prayer. But the longer he began to meditate on that, and periodically as he would go back in the bank, the manager would say, "Now, listen, have you guys made your bid yet? I don't see anything from you." So finally, Dan had really been to get made a matter of prayer about it. And Dan, being a great singer, he would begin to worship the Lord and sing. And in the course of doing this, as he's singing before the Lord, the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, "I want you all to have that building. I want my church to have that building." And so Brother Betzer said, "Well, what I need to do is I need to have the leadership to come in, and we've got to make a decision." So he told his wife, Darlene, said, "Listen, honey, we've got to have the men in for a meal. I need you to fix the best meal you can possibly fix. I want you to just go all out because we've got to get these guys ready to make a big decision. And I want them to be really full and satisfied." And so he has that meeting that night, and they have a wonderful time of fellowship and food. And finally, he says to the men, he said, "Gentlemen, I need to tell you something." So he recounts the story. They all knew the bank building. They didn't know it was for sale, or they didn't know that there was even any possibility that Pastor was thinking of this. But as he began to unfold it to the men, he began to share how God had put it in his heart that he wanted his church to have that building. And so he said to them, "Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what I believe God has put on my heart." And he said, "I believe God has told us to make a bid on that property." And they said, "Well, Pastor, how in the world can we handle this? You know?" And so, you know, they had those normal questions. And he said, "I don't know how God will provide, but I believe God has told us to do it. And if you will give me, you know, your approval and your support, we're going to ask God how much we should make the bid for, and we're going to put it in God's hands." So that's what they did. God put an amount on his heart. He wrote it out, put it in an envelope, took it to the bank, sealed it. So several weeks later, when the time came that they were going to unseal the bids and the board of directors was going to make their decision, he received a phone call. And the branch manager, the bank manager, said, "I wanted to inform you that we had X number of bids, and there was quite a disparity in the amount bid for the property, but the board of directors chose your bid for you all to have the building." Now, what makes that astounding, and I confirm this today with Darlene Betzer, The building was appraised at $6 million. $6 million. When Dan was praying and worshiping God and just singing before the Lord and saying, "Oh God, how much should I put down there?" The Lord said, "Offer $85,000. And they took the bid. A $6 million building for $85,000. I'm going to tell you, folks, when you don't know what to do, you might just ought to sing a little bit and begin to sing some of those songs that stir your heart and move your spirit and open yourself up for God to talk with you. Because when God says, "I want you to have that, and I'll get it for you if you'll just step out and go ahead and make a ridiculous offer and watch me work." Now, that's the truth. I confirmed it with Darlene Betzer today. That's Sister Dan Betzer, if in case you don't know that. She confirmed. I said, "I want to make sure I've got the figures right. It's been a few years." She said, $6 million, and we paid $85,000 for it. Oh, can you say amen? Amen. Folks, I just want to tell you, when you've done everything you know to do, you've bound, you've loosed, you've turned, you've fasted, you've prayed, you've bawled, you've squalled, there is something that God has given to us that many of us have never engaged in, and that is the power of song for strategic warfare. Now, by now, most of you, thank you, Greg, for giving this out. I want us to just look at some scriptures and see that God has given us this is a battle strategy. 305 times in the Bible, it uses the word sing. 305 times. 287 times, it's given as a commandment. Now, never, ever, ever does it say anything about the quality of your voice. That's how some of us get away with singing in public. Because it doesn't say you have to sing beautifully, you have to sing on pitch. He just says sing. 287 times, the command goes forth. Sing unto the Lord. Sing a new song. Sing unto God with a voice of triumph and shout unto Him. So God is telling us, there's a weapon that I've given to you. It's not just something to take up part of the service time. It's part of your battle strategy. Hallelujah. And if you and I want to win, we need to know all that God's given us that will help us win. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's as simple as singing. Singing your sickness away, singing your poverty away, singing your troubles away. You say, "Oh, I don't know about that." Oh, the Bible is full, and you've got the list right there. So let's just look at some of them. Psalm 40, verse 3. "He hath put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Now, I know there are times that we'd rather sing, "Oh, lonesome me. She got the gold mine, I got the shaft. All my exes wear Rolexes. Thank God and Greyhound she's gone," and sing "Born to Lose" and some of those other type songs. But God tells us we need to sing a song of victory, a song of praise unto the Lord. Let me tell you, the devil hates it when you sing. That's why many of you are reticent to sing, because you're thinking, "Oh, what good will it do? And I don't think I sound that good." That's just the enemy trying to stop you from pulling out the bazooka that just blows him out of the water. Because he was the praise and worship leader of heaven, he is intimidated when a child of God takes what he used to have and uses it to glorify and praise God. It just reminds him how far he has fallen. Hallelujah. And that's why he stops you. That's why he hinders you. That's why you don't feel comfortable singing on purpose. Now, I know in a service, as I said, we'll typically do it because we're instructed to do it. But I'm talking about doing it with something other than this is just 15 to 18 minutes of our normal service time that we have to do so that we can do other things. That should never be the reason that we sing. We ought to sing because there's power in song. There's power that God has invested in it. He's put a new song in my heart. Job 35:10 states, God gives songs in the night. Have you ever noticed that's when the devil comes alive? Mickey Gilley sang a song, "The girls all look prettier at closing time." Now, I don't want you singing that song. But have you noticed that when it gets dark, the devil comes alive? I've never felt worse than I feel after midnight. I don't think there's been a day in my life when I hurt as much when the sun was shining as I did when the sun went down. It's like every ache and pain is just intensified. Anybody else feel that way? Well, that's just the enemy. He comes at night. So what does God do? God says, I'm going to give you a weapon to use at night. You will not have to go to Walgreens. You'll not have to go to the ER. You'll not have to try to find a doctor somewhere or some kind of medication or go on the internet and find out what MD website says. Just apply the power of song. A number of years ago, I was going through a real battle, and this is when the Lord really began to reinforce it in my heart. And during the night, the Lord was speaking to me while I was asleep. And I woke up with a tune in my heart and the words. I woke up and God had given me my song in the night. It was so simple. It said, when I don't know what to do, I will turn my eyes to you, for you're my maker, you're my redeemer, you are my father, and you're my friend. You are my savior, and you're my healer, and I will trust you until the end. Now, I'm telling you, I'd never heard that before. God gave it to me in the night. Now, it's not for public consumption. It'll never win a gold record or anything like that. It was my song in the night. And he gave me a tune. This was about 2:30 a.m. I thought, I'll never remember that tune. I got up and went in, took out my little mini tape recorder, went in the kitchen, and at 2:30 in the morning, I'm singing that song so that I wouldn't forget it. And let me tell you, it has been, I sang it last night. I was singing it last night. When I don't know what to do, I will turn my eyes to you. Well, that's what Jehoshaphat said. I'll turn my eyes to you, for you're my maker. You're my redeemer. You not only made me, but you remade me. You're my father. You're my friend. You're my savior. You're my healer. And I'm going to trust you until the end. I'm going to trust you until the end. So that was my song in the night that God gave me. Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou compassed me about with songs of deliverance. Have you ever, maybe you didn't notice, I went for years and didn't notice the amount of statements that God made relative to singing. Psalm 77, 6. We said it. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own soul. Now what I have to do is, because Abby's sleeps beside me. She's a little deeper sleeper. That's a poem, isn't it? A deeper sleeper than I am. And she's a keeper, too. So she's a deeper sleeper keeper wife. But what I do is I pull the cover up over my face. Now, I'll admit I get choked and start sweating and gagging because it gets hot. But I'm trying not to wake her up. And I'll just lay there and try to whisper sing to the Lord. Now, I'm glad he's not hard of hearing, so if I'm making any noise at all, he's hearing it. You know, it's attuned to his ear. But I called to remembrance the song in the night, and I commune. And let me tell you, you can't sing a song of victory and feel discouraged at the same time. You cannot. You cannot sing a song of victory and joy and feel discouraged and despondent and despairing at the same time. That's why God tells us, sing. Go ahead and sing. Because when you start singing, something starts happening. Because this is a spiritual dynamic that God's given to us. Psalm 149, verse 5 said, let the saints that are joyful in praise, praise Him. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Now, you can't do that if you're married. Unless you do it together. And Abby and I have done it together. Let me tell you, she's a pitiful singer now. I'm telling you. No, I'm teasing. She acts as a beautiful voice. Yes, you do. A beautiful voice. A sweet voice. My favorite voice, other than my grandchildren. But that she's in the line after grandchildren. But we will lay in bed and sing. One of the songs that we like to sing is, what's that song we like to sing so well? How great is our God? You know, y'all sing that? How great is our God? I knew what I was doing. I was just making sure y'all weren't sleeping. I love to sing. We love to sing, How Great is Our God. But you can sing something as simple as Hallelujah, He is Lord. You can sing the national anthem if it helped bring you closer to God. I don't care what you sing, as long as you sing something that will glorify God and honor God. And if you can slip a few Christian words in the national anthem, that's all the better. You can sing the Hallelujah chorus. But whatever you do, when you start singing, God starts working. Amen. And the wonderful thing is, whatever was oppressing you when you started singing cannot stay while you're singing. Now, you may have to sing more than a chorus. You may have to sing a medley. It depends on the intensity of the attacker, the intensity of our counterattack. Amen? If he's coming on full bore, then you can't just give it a little, now I lay me down to sleep, or twinkle, twinkle, little star. You got to pull out some serious praise and worship to God. And when the devil tries to tell you at night that you're not saved, just pull Amazing Grace on the devil. It doesn't matter what you sing so much as the fact that you sing unto the Lord what God's put in your heart. Now, I'm going to give you these real quickly. Follow along. Number one, singing in time of trouble. First Chronicles tells you about Haman and his children. He had, 14 kids and 18 kids, something like this. He had a bunch of boys and girls. I'm not even going to take the time to even deal with that, but I did give you the scripture reference. But all of them were instructed in the song of the Lord. And being instructed in the song of the Lord tells you the place, the purpose, and the power of prayer. When you know, and that's what we're doing tonight, is trying to help you be instructed in the power of song. Why God gave us this. Why God gave us this to work in our lives and help us. So number one, singing in time of trouble. Number two, singing after a triumph. After a triumph. Have you ever heard one of the boxing matches that would come from England or somewhere, and these people in this auditorium would be singing with maybe their particular dialect, especially if it was English or Irish dialect. They would be singing because of the victory, maybe to not only encourage their fighter to fight a good fight, but especially when he won. So there are places in this world where singing is a very significant part of the victory celebration. And it was when Moses came out with the children of Israel out of Egypt. They sang the song of Moses in Exodus 15. It's repeated again in Revelation 15. And it talks about how God threw the enemy into the sea. So they sang not only in time of trouble, they sang after a great triumph to sing praise unto God. To sing and worship Him for what He's done. Number three, singing for your supplies. Now, this is important because there are a lot of us that are fighting and dealing with lack. Financial lack is hitting a lot of people. Problems having enough money to, I heard tonight, taxes are going up. Our homeowner home taxes, real estate taxes are going up again in Harris County. And a lot of people are fighting these things. And so what do? I need more supplies. You know, it's hard. We used to try to get the make the ends meet. Now we're trying to find where the ends are. It's like I've got more month than I've got money. And so it's I remember when my dad got Social Security, he lived for the third day of the month. I mean, if there was a day of the month that he was thrilled, it was the third of the month, because that was the day they did a direct deposit in his account. And let me tell you, the first and second, they drug by. But boy, the third, it was hallelujah, there's money in my account. So we all deal with this. Notice what it says, Numbers 21. records how the Israelites were at a dry place with no water in sight. Now listen, you've got to get over your hang-ups and your sophisticated mentality and trying to articulate uncertainty and skepticism and all that. You just have to get into the flow of God. Amen? Any Pentecostal here that can truly, absolutely describe Pentecost as the satisfaction of someone that doesn't believe it? No. But you know what you've experienced. You know God, and you know the reality of what you have. And he with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And when you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, they can argue all they want to. You just say, but I have him. I have him. You can argue all you want to, but I have him. I've experienced this. Notice what it says in Numbers 21. They got to this place called Beer. Now, I've got a lot of friends that love that word. They say, hey, man, my favorite drink is in the Bible. Got to this place called Beer, which in Hebrew was called well. That's what it meant, well. And it says they sang to a dry hole. Now, let's face it. A lot of times our brain says, But you've got to get over that. Because so far our brains haven't produced enough money, enough health, enough joy, enough victory. So we ought to try something other than our brain. Maybe we ought to respond with our heart. Amen. They got to this place and they began to sing to a dry hole. Now, they didn't sing about the dry hole. Oh, have you ever seen a drier hole than this? No. They weren't singing about the dry hole. We usually will talk and sing about our problems. Notice what it says. They sang, what's that word? To. They sang to the dry hole. How many of you sing to your checkbook? That's a dry hole. That's a good place to start. Put that puppy out on the kitchen table. Just start singing to it. Singing to the medical report. Whatever is a dry hole of supply in your life, it could be the cupboard, the refrigerator, the freezer, you know, on and on, the bank statement, whatever it is, they sang to it. Now, that's where we got that song, Spring Up, O Well Within My Soul, Spring Up, O Well. That's part of that. And here's what happened. They started singing to the dry hole, and it became a well. Don't you just love that? It became what they needed it to become, but they didn't sing what it was. They sang what they wanted it to be. Are you following me? They sang what they wanted it to be. I'm going to sing to my left leg and tell it, stop hurting. Kick and jump and run all you want to. You sing to whatever that dry hole represents in your life. Now, we got to go quickly. And then number four, sing to see your enemies smitten. That's the Second Chronicles. You know the story. This is when Jehoshaphat was given the word by the Lord, and they found the power of song and how the power of song would destroy the enemy. So whatever the enemy is in your life, if it's disease, if it's a relationship problem, if it's strife, if it's variance, if it's fear. How many of you know fear is an enemy? It's an enemy. I love what Pastor Broussard told me the other day. He said, fear is an acrostic that represents false evidence appearing real. That's good, isn't it? He said that. False evidence appearing real. Well, that's the work of the devil, is to make us believe something that's really not true. But if we believe it, it will become true, and it'll feel true. So, Jehoshaphat, seeing this great mass of people, began to sing. Number five, singing for courage in the face of the crisis. Jesus, before he went out with his disciples, they began to sing a hymn. Number six, singing when your dreams seem shattered. You had these dreams, goals, everything you wanted to happen, and all of a sudden you're in prison. You thought you were going to be on TV and you're in prison. You thought you'd be preaching to the president and you're sitting with prisoners all around you in a stinking dark dungeon. But the Bible says about midnight, that some of us are getting close to midnight in our lives. About midnight, they prayed and sang praises. They didn't sing Birmingham Jail, and they didn't sing Folsom Prison Blues. I'm sure they sang songs of victory to God. And the Bible says the prisoners heard them. They weren't just mumbling words. They weren't just singing under their breath. It was midnight. Those prisoners, many of them had to be asleep or trying to sleep. And here are these two fanatical preachers that are in shackles, in bonds, singing, "I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus." Well, you're not free. I'm free on the inside, and it'll only be a moment till I'm free on the outside. They begin to sing and give praise to God. And God loosed the bonds, set them free, save the jailers, save prisoners, and turn the city upside down. When your dreams are shattered, you don't know what you're going to do. When it's the darkest, you need to sing the loudest. Amen? When it's the darkest, just sing the loudest. Have you planned whether you're going to play for me or not? Okay, if you feel led, you go play. And if you if you don't, just sing for me over there, you know. Now, number 7 and last, we got to quit singing into your barrenness. This is the story in Isaiah where he said, "Oh, a widow that did not bear. You didn't bear. You want a child. You want family. Nothing's happening. Your husband's dead. Chances of having a child pretty bad. What in the world are you going to do? What about in vitro?" God said, "You thought about in vitro? What about adoption?" No, God said, "Why don't you just start singing? Why don't you declare part of that tent over there the nursery? Just mark off a little section there with a piece of rope and say, oh, that's the nursery over there. And I'm going to go in the nursery and I'm going to sing to my baby. I'm going to sing how good God is to give me a baby. I'm going to sing how good God is to give me a child. I'm going to sing how wonderful God is to give me that which is the desire of my heart." And when she began to sing, the Bible says she brought forth. Hallelujah. God doesn't always tell us how he's going to do it. But he says, if you'll sing, I'll do it. If you'll sing, I'll hear your voice. I will give you the desire of your heart. But sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. So she sang in her barrenness. And she sang what she wanted. She didn't sing what she had. And she didn't sing how she felt. She sang what she wanted. Amen. So let me just ask you in closing, what do you want? And are you willing to sing about it? Are you willing to sing over it? Sing to it? Sing about it? Sing about Jesus? Sing to it about Jesus? If you're willing to do what God said, God says there's power. There's power in song. There's power in song. And I'll give you a song in the night. And sing aloud upon your bed. And I will bless your courage, I will bless your faith, I will bless your obedience, and I will honor your prayer. In closing, you can go ahead if you don't mind, just play softly. I'm going to close. We're going to pray. For about 4 months, I'd been suffering just all kind of back pain, stomach pain, side pain. Let me tell you, the enemy, when you start getting as old as Judy here and some of you, you know, old age set in. Any kind of pain, the enemy says, uh-oh, that's what this is, you know, and he'll paint a picture of some catastrophic disease. And I tell you, I'd prayed and I'd sought God and I'd fasted, and not necessarily about that, but that was part of it. And I'll tell you what, I was in pain every day. We were up in North Texas 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, 2 weeks ago this coming Sunday, 2nd of November. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and I mean, I was in just excruciating pain, bad pain. And I remembered Abby and I had been listening to a tape as we went up there, and the minister was talking about how he had prayed for a person, And he said to them, I want you to look at your watch. What time is it? And they said, 9:15, whatever it was. And what's the day? Such and such a day. Okay, we're going to pray. Are you willing to say that today, at this time, 9:17, that you receive your healing? You got to receive it before you'll have it. You got to receive it by faith before you'll see it manifest. Are you willing to declare that today you have it? Now, she had a big cancer on her face. Big mole. Couldn't be operated on it. The tentacles of it had gone all through. The doctor said, if we try to operate, she'll die in just a matter of a few hours because we just have to let her die when she dies. They prayed, and he told her. He said, I want you, every time you think about it, when you get up throughout the day, when you go to bed at night, I want you to praise God. Lord, at such and such a date, at such and such a time, I receive my healing. And he said, then just go on, go on. He said, do it for 2 weeks. And exactly 2 weeks later, he received a phone call. And on the other end, he couldn't make out what they were saying because they were screaming and shouting so much. But when she finally calmed down, she said, Pastor, she said, while I was doing my housework, I bent over and something fell in the floor, and it was that cancerous tumor fell in the floor. And she said, my face is as smooth as a baby's skin. She said, I put it in a jar and put it in alcohol. I'm going to bring it to church and let you see it. Now, friends, November the 2nd, 5:18 a.m., Sunday morning, lying in bed with my wife up in North Texas. We were going to be in service earlier that morning. I said, Lord, 5:18, November 2nd a.m., I receive my healing for whatever this is. I don't need to know what it is. I just need to know who you are. I just need to know who you are. You can diagnose it as you heal it. And friends, I'm telling you, the pain left, and I have been healed and fine since November 2nd, and I thank God. I've been singing my healing. I've been praising God for my healing. I've been giving glory to God for my healing. And I'm telling you, you can sing your way to health. You can sing your way to blessing. You can sing your way to victory. Or you can just stay where you are and just hope something good will happen. Or you can rise up and make it happen through the power of Jesus Christ. Stand with me, please. Now, this evening, we've got to close. Oh, my goodness, I've gone over. But we got to pray and let you go, and I'm terribly sorry. Wherever you are right now, just bow your head. And if there's anything in your life, according to my watch, it is 8:37 or thereabouts, 8:37 on November the 12th. Why don't you just declare to nail it down and say, okay, Jesus, 8:37, 8:38, Wednesday, November the 12th, I call it done in Jesus' name. I call it done in Jesus' name. I just call it done in Jesus' name. I just call it done. I call it done. I call it finished. I call it over. And I'm going to sing a song of victory. Hallelujah. I'm going to sing a song. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will confirm your word in the hearts of your people. And Father, I believe in the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear great testimonies of what you've done as people tenaciously hang on to their faith in you and believe you and sing the victory, O God. Sing the victory, O God. Sing the victory, O God. Sing the victory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you just tell the devil you serve a great big God? Why don't you tell sickness you serve a great big God? Why don't you tell poverty you serve a great big God? Why don't you tell that family situation you serve a great big God? Why don't you just tell the job situation, I got a God bigger than this job situation. I'm serving a great big God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you just give me the key of B flat? Is that where we are? Then sings my soul. Come on, help me out. My Savior. Oh, sing it unto Him tonight. Sing it unto Him.
How great Thou art. How great Thou art.
Oh, you're singing about Him.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
Hallelujah! How do you mean it tonight?
How great Thou art!
Once more before we go,
it sings my soul.
Oh, we praise You, mighty God. We praise You, O God.
Him sings my soul.